What are you?
34? I am sort of a unique individual. I'm sort of an unusual individual. I wouldn't like to judge my brothers and sisters on how I live my life. I wouldn't like to judge the children of the world on how I live my life. Because how I live my life, mothers would be distressed most of the time. Because I live my life, I had four brothers and sisters, but you wouldn't know it. I was alone. I was always doing my own thing, always living my own way. And when I'd go visit friends, my mother would never have to worry about me. I wouldn't have to call and let her know that I was there, because she always knew that I was doing good things. I was doing the right things. I was never getting into trouble. I might make a mistake once in a while, but I'd never get into trouble. And she always believed in me 100%. But she wouldn't like to call me the ideal child, because she felt the ideal child was a child that she could discipline. She thought the ideal child was a child that she could tell, do the dishes, go do this, go do that, and they would go and do it. And she could never tell me to do anything, because I knew what she wanted done before she wanted it done, and I did it. And so when she told me to do it, it was already done.
Nice.
And it didn't bother her once she got used to it. But while she's getting used to it, and then she wanted all the rest of the kids to be like me, and I said, please don't do that, you know, because there's no comparison. There's no comparison. I was unique. I'd take my bike, and I'd ride out off into the countryside, you know, and I'd be with my friends, the Myers, and stay at their house overnight and eat with them and so forth, and doing healing work with them, because they had problems in their family. And it was being solved. It's one of the reasons that Chrissy liked me so much. But she didn't know that was why she liked me. She just knew that I loved her family. And now, how can we be unique? When I got out of the Navy, I didn't want to do all the things that, you know, was possible to do, be an officer in the Navy, go on higher, it was a Naval Academy and stuff like that. I just decided, no, I wanted to be a writer. And so instead of going directly and being a writer, I went to the Unity School of Christianity, and I went to Marquette University, and I went to University of Wisconsin, and all these other places. Academic, you know. And so in 1948, just as I had completed all of my work with the College of Divine Metaphysics and received my doctorate and all that sort of stuff, Mother received hers and Ray received his. And so, you know, our family had gone through the program there, and it was very good. Just as I received it, I was thinking, I would like to establish a healing university, University of Healing. I'd like it. And so I mentally established the University of Healing in 1948 when I was 21. And I thought, that's a good idea. And so everywhere I went, I wanted to establish it in a previously constructed base, like in Unity or in Religious Science or in somewhere. And it just didn't work, because everywhere I went, they wanted me to support their program, support their teaching. And so I taught the University of Healing Philosophy in their teaching, but I couldn't get the name University of Philosophy in there, because they wanted their own name, and which is just fine. So finally, I was in Minneapolis. And this was a few years later. In fact, it was 74, 75. And I said, I'm going to start it. I'm going to quit all these other churches, Religious Science and all the rest of them. And I'm going to get going on the University of Healing and University of Philosophy and so on. And so I did that. But to do that, took a lot of red tape, a lot of nonsense. You had to have undergraduate colleges and do this and do this and do this. And I thought, oh, no. So I established God Unlimited, the Church of God Unlimited, as the organizational church to teach this philosophy. And then, of course, the university became a part of the University of God Unlimited and was accepted by the federal government and accepted as a totally recognized organization. And that was in about 1975 when I finally left all other activities. So it took me from 48 to 75 to get my act in order. And so I wrote the books for the university. And my first books were beautiful expressions of all the things that I had learned, not what I believed. And I showed them to my son, who was working with me, and he wasn't a very academic person, but he listened carefully to what I said. He said, "Dad, that's not what you believe. You're telling what other people believe. You're telling what Unity believes, what Religious Science believes, what you've been working with for the last couple of years. That's not what you believe. What do you believe, Dad?" You know, myself. So I said, "Good question." So I sat down at my typewriter. I loved it. And my keys would dance over the typewriter keys. I had IBM ESC, what is it? Remember that? A real nice typewriter. And I typed up the book. And then I showed it to Mark. And he said, "Dad, that's not you. We have the copy of the book here." And so it was called Song of Spirit. And so then I said, "Okay, I mean, if you can see it so so clearly, I better start looking myself." And so I spent time in meditation. I spent time in introspection. I spent time in listening to the divine within me. And as I listened to the divine within me, then the bells started ringing of why I wanted to start the University of Healing. I wanted to start the University of Healing to share the idea that we do not have to go through the fundamental, normal procedures to be healed. And the reason for that was one thing. Do you know what that was?
We're already healed. We're already whole.
That's exactly it. You're already whole and perfect. And you see, I came to the awareness that that was what I was trying to say, but I was not able to say it because I was listening to everybody else's program. And everybody else wants to heal. Lay on of hands and do all these sort of things, you know, give medicines and all that kind of stuff, which is all fine and dandy if that's this program you have. Like I often say, and always say, thank the Lord for the Catholic Church. If we didn't have the Catholic Church, we wouldn't have the Christian religion that as we have it today. That doesn't mean we've got to keep it that way, but at least they kept it in they kept it going. And so now it's time for us to rethink it. So I rethought it, and I started writing my books, and each book became more comprehensive, more intense. And the first books were very basic, very easy to follow, very easy to listen to, and so easy that people thought it was foolish. People thought it was, you know, not right, but it is very right. And as you do these first books, these first courses of the University of Healing, you have a good foundation. And what's the foundation, John?
Whole and perfect.
There's nothing to heal. You're whole and perfect. There's nothing to heal. And I keep saying this, but I keep referring back to the attitude of healing, the attitude of I should have had the University of
Wholeness.
Because if I'd had the University of Wholeness, that was more of what I really wanted to teach. But I hadn't stepped out of the past strong enough to do that. And perhaps one day we should do that. But it began in 1948 when I first made up my mind that, hey, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And so my mother was a Unity minister, and my family was very interested in all these things, and I was interested, but I wasn't interested in what they were doing. And the reason I didn't hang into Unity so terribly much is that they were always saying that Jesus heals, you know. And I didn't believe that because you're already whole. Your mind heals because you go back to your original purity and integrity, and then you become aware that you're already whole and perfect. And this morning's talk, what was the theme? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the theme? What was the theme?
Golly, Moses.
The theme was you're whole and perfect. The theme was you're fantastic. You see, this is what you got to stop and think about. What's the theme there? We have it written down here, too, also. And let's see what we wrote down here. Endorse ideals at all times. Mm. Now, endorse ideals at all times. All right, John, what is your ideal for you?
Everything is in divine order, that I am whole and perfect.
Now, what else does he have to do except to endorse it every moment of your life? Endorse the fact that you are perfect, you are wonderful, you are fantastic, you are, but not better than somebody else, and not in comparison to somebody else. As I started telling you, as a child, I wasn't like my brothers and sisters. I wasn't a goody-goody boy. I got blamed for being goody-goody boy at times, you know, but I wasn't. I just did my own thing. And I believed in myself. And I believed in all the things I did, and I had fun doing it. And all my friends would want to come over and learn to do the things that I was doing, but they didn't know they wanted to learn to do the things that I was doing, but they just wanted to be with me because I was having fun being me. And they wanted to learn how to have fun being them, but they didn't know how to put it into words. But I was the example. And, I got into problems now and then when people started thinking that, you know, I could be better than them. And I never thought that. I never thought that. My mom always believed in me. My dad always believed in me. My brothers and sisters always believed in me. They always said, "Who do you think you are? The pure white driven snow?" I said, "Yeah." But it was great. It was great. But I didn't mean that unkindly. I just meant that that's why I could see them as being so wonderful. No matter what my sisters or brothers would give me as presents, they usually ended up getting them back because they bought me what they wanted. And I didn't have any use for it or didn't want them. Like my sister, she bought me these beautiful pajamas, you know, beautiful, soft, cuddly pajamas, just wonderful, you know. And she knew I didn't wear pajamas. And so she gave, and then one day she wasn't feeling good. She said, "Herbie, can I borrow your pajamas?" I said, "Sure, last I saw them." But that's wonderful. I don't care. They gave me, out of the love of their heart, something that they felt was wonderful and beautiful, something that they wanted themselves.
Good creators, aren't they?
And it was great. And so they got it. But it's beautiful. Now, did I judge them as being mean or naughty or hateful to me? No. I just never trusted them to give me anything that I wanted, which was a mistake on my part. I should have always known that everybody gave me everything that I wanted. And it was great. Oh, I had my chemistry laboratory underneath the staircase in the basement, you know, and the smell would come up of these chemicals that I was working with, learning all about in school. And in my closet was under the stairs, and the forward part I could hang clothes, and then the back part was my secret room where I could have all sorts of secret things going on, you know. And the secret things were that it was my business, you know. But nobody cared. Nobody cared. And you see, my brothers and sisters, they didn't invite me to go with them anyplace. They didn't invite me to do things with them. Even my little brother, as soon as he could do it himself, he didn't invite me to do anything with him. But that's beautiful because they were not in my world. I was living my life. I was living my world. I didn't need to be in their world. I didn't need to go by whatever the past had been. I was living in the present. And whenever we got in the car, I got squashed in the middle, you know. Or I got the worst place. But I didn't care. Because I was having fun. I was being myself. I knew that in 20 minutes we were going to be at the lake cottage. Half hour would be at the lake cottage. It was only 30 miles away, you know, big deal. But in those days, we have to pack for the summer. And you pack everything in the car, and all the neighbor kids want to come along too. And so my dad always had big cars that we could get everybody in. But it was wonderful. And I never complained. I never complained. Because why? I knew in a short time we'd be out at the lake cottage. And we could get naked and go swimming in the lake and just have real fun. Go off into the farmer's field and pick fresh corn and cucumbers and all that sort of stuff. And it was just a wonderful way. But now, you see, this is a free spirit. Maybe you wouldn't consider it the type of free spirit that you'd want to be, but it's the type of free spirit I wanted to be, where I was my own master. And I was always writing. And I was always writing stories. I was always writing about trips. I was going to take a trip up the Alcan Highway and how I did it, you know, and all the way I did. I was not in a vehicle because I couldn't drive yet, you know. But I was just going up there, and I was getting there. And I didn't think about distance. I didn't think about time or space or anything. I was just there where I wanted to be. But this is the magic of being yourself. Now, could you compare anybody else to me? No. I'm my ideal. I am my unique ideal. And I live who and what I am. I live who and what I am. And I live my own principles. And I like me. And I'm not superior to anybody else. Now, you have just as unique an ideal of yourself, of the things you like to do, of the trips you like to take, and Ellen, of the things that she does. When Ellen and I used to drive around Europe together, going from seminars, she would always, we'd be going by these castles, and she'd say, I could visualize myself as being a princess in that castle with this lovely gowns and these lovely angel clothing and stuff like that. So, but it wasn't something that I liked, that turned me on, but I could recognize it was hers. And she didn't know that she was being her ideal self. She didn't know that she was being that magical person. And who was it whose father wanted her to sit on his lap every time she came into the house, you know? It was her, not her sister, not her mom, nobody else, but not the maids, maybe. But it was her. And why was it her? Because that's her idea of what she wanted to do. And she went into the Catholic Church, and she was doing, and she was a little young and couldn't do any of the things. And so she watched the sacraments being given and all that sort of stuff. And so she decided that she was with the underage kids out in the sacristy, and that she was going to give them the sacraments. And so she would pretended that she was the priest. And she was going around treating these, and the kids, they took her. They didn't disbelieve her. Why should they? She told them she was, you know. And they loved it because they wished they could have done it, but they couldn't be up with the adults, but they could be with Ellen. And so here she was, their priest. Here she was, their minister, their example. And she didn't even realize she was being herself and having fun early on in life. And she continued that all the rest of her life. And what kind of children did she raise? Ideal. She doesn't know anything other than being ideal. And you see, this is what happened to me in 1948. I had this beautiful idea. I just turned 21. It was a good year, you know. And I was ready to do my thing. And I mentioned it to a number of different people, and you know what happened. They said, ha, 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 ha. You know, dreamer, dreamer. All kids are dreamers, you know. I didn't tell anybody about it anymore. I just did it. I just worked it up. I developed all of my programming. I developed all the things. And since that year, the University of Healing existed. But it was being created on paper. It was being created into its human format, you might say, you know, because it was already in this divine format. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I had a great time. Now, do you have any question?
Yeah, it was a good talk. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun. Any question on your part, John?
I'm very clear.
Okay. Well, for 20 minutes and 15 seconds, you have heard the recitation on the University of Healing from 1948. I love you.